TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken record.
Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 120, and I am Libby, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Peter from West Hollywood.
Susie from Sherman Oaks.
All right, welcome guys to this very special podcast, and I'm going to, before I even get into the news, I'm going to preamble this with, this is a special podcast all about Continuum, so if you have not seen the show, what's wrong with you? Go download it and watch it now, but if you have, continue on and listen to our discussion. Okay, so first up in the news, our news is weird in that there's not a lot of news other than all of us are going to Comic-Con. Well, when I say all of us, a great majority of us are going to Comic-Con. Though, as an aside, which I think is strange, I took a panel from TiVo, sent me a survey, and they were asking me like how I consume my television. They were asking me, like, do I watch Hulu? Do I watch Netflix? Do I watch HBO Go? And then they said, if you do watch all those, have you now changed your cable? Which for me, I'm one of those odd people where I have Hulu Plus, Netflix, HBO Go, and I have not changed my cable.
You still have cable.
They were like, well, did you downgrade to a different package? I was like, No, I didn't. No, I actually went up and got HBO. So, because I wanted HBO Go. So that's kind of a weird thing. But what I thought was strange is as they were asking me all those questions, one of the last questions were, are you going to Comic-Con? I was like, seriously?
I was like, really?
That's on my survey from TiVo? Okay. And strangely, my answer was yes. Yes, I am.
Well, that's not strange. Of course your answer is yes.
Well, it's not strange for me because
TiVo knows all the sci-fi shows you watch, so maybe it does know? I mean, that would make sense. Like,
well, just because...
if you were only watching shows that weren't related at all to something at Comic-Con, maybe it wouldn't have ever asked you that. Maybe.
I don't know. It feels kind of, I guess.
Because you always think the TiVo kind of learns. So it would make sense.
You're speaking like it's some sort of like self-aware.
Libby has always said that the TiVo does get
the
good.
The TiVo programming does get better at guessing what I like to watch. It sees what you watch normally and then it tries to record shows that are similar. So it does feel like it learns you, but this is the survey. It's not like the computer. This is someone wrote this down, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who got that. That survey was not tailored for me.
It might have been that they made 30 questions, but of those 30 questions, they're only going to ask each person only 6 or something like that. And for years, it skewed you that way. It might have been. We don't know.
That doesn't feel like that, because the other surveys did not feel that specific. That was the first time I've ever felt like, are you in my living room watching me right now? The rest of them have not felt like that. And I always fill them out because I want the entertainment industry to know what I watch. So anyway, my whole point was that I thought that it was weird that TiVo wanted to know if I was going to Comic-Con. And I was like, yes, I am. And anyway, so our report next week hopefully will be for Comic-Con if we can find a location to record my podcast in that chaos and insanity.
And
a time that works for everyone. If not, you guys are probably going to get an interview that I've been holding for whatever. Like, so I'm sorry. Like, I can't even tell you if you're going to get a podcast next week, which is kind of strange. But it's totally on the fly, and it's going to be insane. But I wanted to tell everybody all the shows that are going to be there. So you will be expecting some interviews from some of these panels. And I say some because we haven't gotten clearance to get all of them. But at Comic-Con this year, we're going to have Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, Community, Spartacus, Falling Skies, Arrow, Game of Thrones, Tron Uprising, Firefly, the new sci-fi show called Defiance, Strike Back, Warehouse 13, Once Upon a Time, Geeks and Sundry is doing a panel. And then there's this TV Guide magazine panel called Fan Favorites, and they're just the group of people they have for that panel is amazing. So I want to totally do that panel. The following, Alphas, Grimm, Vampire Diaries, True Blood, Person of Interest, Revolution's a new show, Lost Girl. So I have been approved for two, so far two or three of those shows to be in press, which means I get to do some of those interviews, which I'm really excited about, but I shan't tell you what they are. It'll be a surprise, but it'll be one of those shows I just listed. All right. So, that's actually all the news I have. I don't have anything. There's nothing else going on that I am aware of. And if I miss something, please let me know.
When you're back to your normal podcast, we'll probably talk about Breaking Bad.
Oh, that's true. Breaking Bad will be back.
Because it's the weekend of Comic-Con. Well, but then we would watch it, you know.
Well, yeah, that's so weird because this week everything is coming back because you've got White Collar is back. There's a new show called Perception, which I'm going to check out the pilot, but it feels like a really poor man's version of The Mentalist. Mm. Like, I was like, really?
I'm telling you, man, copycats. These shows are just going to get worse.
I know.
Well, that happens. That's happened since television started. So right. That's not really.
I know,
really,
but it's
comes
just
up,
it's such a shame. There's so much other good stuff they could do, you know?
I do want a slight bit of vindication before we actually start this podcast. What show are you watching right now, Peter?
You mean Continuum that we're going to talk about?
No, before we talk about Continuum, what show are you watching right now?
I'm watching The Mentalist.
And?
I love it. I think it's awesome. I'm on season, I'm halfway done with season two. Yeah, I really like it. Well, I hadn't heard of this other show you were talking about, though.
What?
The ripoff that you just mentioned.
Oh, it's called Perception.
I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah, it's on TNT. And basically, Mentalist is doing really well in repeats on TNT, so they were like, hey, let's make our own version. And it's basically a guy who sees evidence differently than anybody else, and so that's how he figures out the cases. But he's a doctor of...
Well, that's not really how Jane works. I always think Jane works more off of people.
Well, that's true. I'm not saying it's identical, but when I saw the trailer for Perception, I was like, I'd rather watch The Mentalist. This was really what I thought. Because it's basically a guy who's not a cop, who has a weird way of looking at evidence.
Well,
and...
I mean, the biggest thing for that would be CBS's Sherlock.
Elementary, yeah.
Yeah, Elementary. Well, I mean, that'll be the big, like... to be fair, that's Sherlock Holmes, not really just
the Mentalist.
The
Mentalist is a copy of Sherlock Holmes,
right, I mean,
too,
it all comes around. I mean,
yeah,
so,
I know, but... and I'll be watching that.
No, I really like The Mentalist. I think it's really entertaining. It's doing what I wanted it to do, which was the second season. It seems to be running a lot better. The cast and the writers seem to just be more in sync with each other. And I mean, actually, I like the first season, too. But it just seems to be flowing really well and everything. But yeah, I mean, I like it. You know. Although, I mean, I'm trying to think. Susie, do you watch The Mentalist?
I did up until the beginning of this past season, I think it was. Yeah, so I was like a season...
Wait, so why'd you stop watching it?
Because I actually started to... dislike him more and more. He started to kind of... I know, Olivia and I have discussed it many times.
Really? I can't see him being unlikable.
Yeah, it's just for some reason, I just started to find him to get kind of cocky and smarmy.
He was
cocky and smarmy.
Yeah.
Like that.
It was more, but it was almost like it got to the point where instead of being kind of playful, he was just doing it almost mean-spirited sometimes. And I just kind of went, well, no, I don't like that.
Well, what's weird about it, if anything, I'd say he got darker. And that's the... I would say he's become a darker character than he starts off being, in that the things he's willing to do are further on the other side of the law than normal. That's all.
Huh, okay.
I think chasing Red John has made him more of a reflection of Red John than he intended. But I think that's kind of good drama, because you can't, if you have your character stays the same the whole time, I think that's boring. And his character has definitely changed. And I agree with you, he's not as likable, but I still love him. I can't help it. I love him. Anyway.
Oh, that's good.
So let's actually move on and talk about the show we're supposed to be talking about, which is Continuum. And first up, we talked about the pilot a little bit before, but we have a different mix of people, and I don't think you weren't there for that, Peter. The pilot is called A Stitch in Time, and it's basically, you know, the whole Kira comes from 2077 to now,
65 years earlier.
Yes, and they meant to only travel 6 years, but boom, no. So go. What did you think?
Well, I was surprised. I liked it. Okay, because I do like this kind of a science fiction genre show, the idea that they had, but I didn't really know what to expect because I hadn't read or heard anything about it. The only reason I started watching it is because one of my friends on Twitter, who I love and respect her stuff, she just went, how come US TV can't be like Canadian's Continuum? And I just went, oh, let me go see what that is. So I downloaded seriously, it was like, that was all it took. And I'm like, I wonder what she's talking about. So I downloaded the first episode because, as you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, that's really the only way we can get it here in the U.S. because it's not shown anywhere broadcast. And so I just said, all right, you know, I'll watch the first episode, see how that goes. And I think one of the first things that struck me is that they actually put some pretty decent budget into the sci-fi elements, you know, into the CG. I really liked kind of the whole idea of the 2077, you know, visuals of the future, you know, the city that they did. And they didn't put a lot of, like, they didn't focus a lot on, oh, really, let's show every little detail about this. Like, let's focus on flying cars and all this. It just seemed like that was the natural environment outside her, you know, home window. And so I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. I'll watch it. The second thing that struck me was I really liked her. Like, her, not just her character, but I guess maybe the actress herself, you know, Rachel herself, because she's so calm, you know. And it's like, first of all, the lead is a female, technically. And she just has this amazing...
I'm sorry. I was like, technically? Like, what is she untechnically? Is she not a female, not technically?
Well, because, you know, Carlos is... He's kind of big in it as well, but we find out... Because at first, you know, in the first couple episodes, you kind of think they're going to be, like, really partners, and maybe they will be later, but it's still five episodes in. It's still really her story.
That's true.
So yeah, she's the lead. She's female. She's a mother, you know, and so this whole idea of they've really, you know, just out of the box designed a really good character that I could relate to. And the fact that she just is so different because she's not like some hard-nosed, not to say that, the Gina Torres of the world, you know, are tough women who go out there and do their stuff because God knows we need them. But Kira is just... She's just calm and she's focused. You see her observing and thinking. And I just went, this is really cool. I really like this. So of course the first episode, they set everything up. They show you the technology of her outfit, which as we know, watching the series is a big thing for her, is her outfit doing everything. And then as the story starts evolving and we find out, okay, you know, she's in this guard, the protectors, and, there's this renegade group of I guess Occupy Wall Street of the future folks.
Well, the only thing about that is I can't Occupy Wall Street. They did do the whole peaceful part correctly. I mean, these guys are.
They're bad.
Yeah, they are seriously hardcore. I mean, they'll shoot you if you are not even if you agree with their opinion, if you're not part of their group.
Exactly.
Then you're expendable.
Yeah, exactly. Because they have a mission and everything else is collateral damage to them. Absolutely. So this whole idea of we don't really know what they're doing or what their purpose is. We find out, you know, through that terrorist, you know, explosion in the building, that so many people were sacrificed for their particular mission.
I think it was they wanted to kill 20 people and they killed 100,000 or something.
Yeah, it was like some ungodly amount, you know, and it was just, of course, horrifying. So, you know, for Kira to then, you know, and then we kind of get into that whole subterfuge thing where, you know, they're at the courthouse, you know, it's Judgment Day, and apparently there is execution in 2077, you know, of sorts. They're, you know, all the bad guys are lined up, you know, all these folks.
Well, what surprised me was a joint execution. I was like, really? We're going to kill them all at once?
Yeah, that is a weird.
That was a little strange, yeah.
Yeah, that was, I think at that point, maybe at 27-7, there's maybe issues with overcrowding, and they're just like, pretty much, you know, capital punishment is the way to go, kids, sorry. So yeah, so they're all lined up to go. And it was interesting how, in that first episode in the pilot, you know, how she gets called over, you know, her job assignment, as it were, you know, changed, and she's asked to go into that room with them. And who didn't think that something would go terribly wrong?
Well, I don't know
if it didn't.
I think the important thing in that scene is there are two people you're supposed to keep your eye on. One is the old man played by the cancer man from X-Files.
Yes, I know.
Somebody
exactly.
Williams, I forgot his name. And then the husband. Both of them are the two characters that the camera focuses on and that are acting a little strange. Cancer man guy is smiling inexplicably, And I think, Peter, what was you, we had a disagreement, or not a disagreement, but a conversation about what that smile was about. Like, I said I thought it was he's seeing the future happen. Like, so he knows that she's supposed to go back in time, and he's smiling because she went back in time.
Actually, I don't know if that was with us. I don't, or me. I don't remember that.
Well, you said your interpretation of the smile was different. It was with you.
I don't remember that. Sorry. I'm sorry. I don't remember saying that.
And then the husband is obviously freaking out because he knows what's about to happen. That's why he doesn't want his wife in the room. So, you know what scene we're talking
about? Wait, do we still know that he knows for sure? Because,
well, we don't know for sure, but his
reaction... Because now that, because at the time you told me that, I had only seen the pilot, and now I've seen, you know, everything that's aired, and I don't... They still haven't really let us know that, you know, either he's with the Liberate team or anything. That's what was my assumption. I was I'm like, he's actually with the terrorists, and that's why he knows something's going to happen, and he doesn't want his wife to get caught up.
Well, he obviously knows something.
He knows something, but
we haven't done flashbacks with... Because Kira doesn't know, we only know about the future...
From her point of view, what she knows.
And she doesn't know that, so we're not going to know.
Right, that's
true. But we did see... She did notice his reaction, and she played it back a couple of times, so she thinks that's weird. But also, somebody had to have smuggled that device into those guys.
Oh, sure, sure.
So somebody, you know, and I think...
Well, actually, wait, isn't the device, it's a bunch of pieces.
Right, and they get together. handed to each one of them. So one of the guards did that, but somebody had to get that in there. Anyway, yes. I think he knew.
Definitely. I think Cigarette Man.
Cigarette Man.
I think, for lack of a better name. I think he knew. He was the one that told her. He was the one that made the change for her to go in.
Right. Or we call him Old Alec.
Old Alec. Yeah, that's true. That would be more accurate. And so I do think that was kind of interesting. But that set up the whole plot for the series to basically say this was on purpose. You know, this whole thing. But my question when I watched it was... It was kind of twofold. It was like, okay, old man, you know, old Alec, that we find out later that's who he is, you know, sends her into that room. Obviously something bad happens. But to me, the thought was, you know, did he know already that they were going to go back in time?
Yes.
Or did he just know that? But I guess my thought at the time was, or did he just know that something was going to happen and she was the right person to do something about it?
No, you know? He saw as the future... has now come full circle, or the past.
Saying he remembers his past history as Alec helping her?
Yes.
Well, that's what, I mean, we don't know for sure, but I mean, like, that would make sense.
Yeah, you know, but like, I think...
She doesn't remember being helped by him, obviously.
Well, he doesn't help. He's the boss of her husband, so obviously he is helping her in that he hired her husband and gave him a job, you know what I'm saying? So he considers her a friend, and he's trying to help her, but be subtle about it. You know, he can't be like, oh, I'm your friend from the future that you haven't met yet. Like, he can't
by the way,
do that.
My future is your past.
Right, yeah, you can't have that conversation. So he's basically, I feel like he's helping her in subtle ways any way that he can. So he's probably promoting her husband as quickly as possible so that they can have more income and live well. He's doing the best he can to look out for her. That's how I see it.
Okay.
But in the rest of the episode... the big thing is Tony Amendola's character doesn't come through with everybody else. So instead of having the Liberate be an intellectual group that takes, you know, sacrifices people, but I still feel like they think about it, they now have just the military arm of it has gone back in time, and all they're doing is just killing. They're following a military protocol and killing anybody who gets in their way, and they're very vicious, and they're very violent, and they're not focused on the big picture. Now I know I had this conversation with you, Peter, because you were talking about the villains of the show were just, they didn't...
Well, that's my problem with the show, is that I still don't find the villains' plan, or I just don't find them that interesting. In fact, what I like about the show is that Susie had brought this up before, that... Because it's, you know, it starts off in 2077, and Kira has this suit. Well, all the police of that world have these kind of... these jumpsuits that they wear, and I agree that the although I think some of the effects on this show do seem like Canadian budget, I think the suit does look pretty cool. The thing I liked about the pilot and what I've liked about all the episodes is I like Kira having to deal with the young version of Cigarette Man or Smoking Man or whatever the guy
Alec.
Alec, and just how they like deal with each other. And then, of course, now she's got the cop partner. And a part of me feels like I almost keep thinking I would like this show more if it was really more just a procedural. Because I like her from the future with the suit and her trying to use her technology and what she knows with this guy who's like a Steve Jobs type. That's he's obviously going to be really brilliant and everything. And I like all that. But every time we cut to the bad guys, I'm always like, I don't really think their plan is that interesting. And I don't think the actors are... Well, the old guy who we get later, he's interesting. I mean, he's a good actor. But
I think that's the... We've only gotten episode 5.
But it's only a 10-episode season. So yeah, I know. I mean, I think that's fair to say. If this is 22 episodes, I guess I would say, all right, you know, we're taking some time, but... With only 10 episodes, I think by now we should have we should be pretty compelled to what Liberate
except for the fact that Tony Almondale didn't come through, and
until later,
and we've only had one episode with him in charge.
And true. Don't forget, as Libya said, we don't know anything that Kira doesn't know, right. So it's kind of hard for us. I mean, we see them do stuff.
Let's say we see the bad guys doing stuff.
Well, we do see what the bad guys are doing.
In our present day, in 2012. Right. We do see that. Yeah.
But I think that one episode, and the one episode that he's in charge, is actually pretty cool.
It is a good episode.
It's a Terminator episode. So I think that you have to look at, okay, when they were just mindless kind of military guys, yeah, the plan sucked because that's not what they do. They don't make plans.
Right.
But...
No, and I will agree with you. Like, I like the show. That's just my only thing right now is I'm like, I'm still not loving that
part. Let's go in order. We're still talking about the pilot.
It hasn't fully flushed, and I know we're going to get into, like, maybe the next couple episodes, but the one thing that I noticed, too, is even after we got to the 5th episode is... it seemed almost like
Hold up. We've jumped ahead. We're supposed to be talking about the pilot.
Okay. Well, we kind of killed the pilot, so.
Okay.
Well, I think we can move to episode 2. I mean, but go ahead. Susie, you want to?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, because we are kind of also looking at it as the episodes we've seen, and to Peter's point about the bad guy, we're calling them, the way I look at it is, you know, these, we don't see their clear plan right now, but what it seemed like for a while before Kagame, before he came in, it was like their goal was to get back to the future that was...
Right, that's the second episode. Second episode is very much about them... That's their plan, is to put the pieces back together.
Exactly.
And, of course, goes wrong, but...
Yeah. Right. Well, let's hold up. Let's actually announce which episode we're doing, which is... second episode is called Fast Times. And, as you said, the entire... Pretty much the plot from the bad guy's perspective of the second episode is to get back to the future. Ha ha! I used that in a sentence. But it's also twofold. It's the bad guys are trying to get back to the future, and Kira actually has her cover blown in this episode because they really didn't check her credentials in the first. Because the first episode, she comes to the police station and pretends that she's a detective. She gets the name from a television broadcast, news broadcast, and she says she's from the U.S. and she's a Portland detective. And then everything's moving so fast, they never really check. But in the second episode, considering the fact that all those cops got killed in the police station, and then they actually start doing some investigation, they figure out she's been lying, you know, because she's all like, oh, these guys are from Portland, and I've been following them here because of that. And so then they go check, and they're like, yeah, we've never heard of these guys. They're not from Portland, and she's not from Portland. So now she's under arrest. So that was... The second episode was more about her trying to convince them to trust her and being able to get out of there in time to try to hitch a ride back with the other guys, because that's when they bring to that plant, right? Is that it?
I think that's farther.
The plant is the big. The plant is where they. Yeah, that's the big finale. Is that's where they plan to go back to the future?
Right. Was that this?
That's the action scene. Yeah.
Right. But I was like,
that's where the scientist is, the older man.
Yeah.
Who defends her and everything. Like.
Yeah, that is the second episode. Okay, so I was just making sure. But what was interesting is the cop Carlos. Really, everybody gives him a hard time because he believes her and no one else does. And so they think, oh, you just fell for a pretty face. But what's interesting about her character, I think Susie said this, is that she's always so calm and so straight-faced that she almost doesn't quite look pretty in the... obviously
I know. Rachel Nichols is a pretty actress.
She is pretty, but it's the way that she behaves that kind of makes you think that's not the first thing you think about when you see her.
Exactly. Yeah. She's got some weight there. You know, there's some depth.
Right.
And it's funny. I don't know if you guys noticed too, but every episode has the word time in it. So yeah,
that's going to get old really fast.
I know, isn't it? I'm like, well, isn't that what Mentalist is doing?
Well, the Mentalist totally does the same thing. All the titles have red, of some version of red,
some kind
crimson.
Of red. But anyway, I thought I did notice that.
You didn't notice that?
That was kind of cute.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this show has time in all
this. This has time in it, yeah. It looks so for the second, third, and actually it's the fourth episode where they get the scientist and they try to get home and the thing explodes or whatever. But in Fast Times, what I liked about it is just the idea that she really does have to form that relationship, like you were saying, Livia, the trust with Carlos. And I got to say, I love Carlos. I think I wasn't sure because, you know, you bring in the partner, quote unquote, and you're like, oh, what is this going to be like? Who's it, you know, is it going to be, you know, is he going to come in and kind of bully things, try and take control? But he really plays off of her. You know, I think for her ultra calmness that we were talking about, you know, it's not that he's very passionate, but he certainly, you know, has more of that that humanist feel. She almost does, even though she has a lot of feeling and depth of feeling.
It does feel
because
like
she's so cool. It's almost like he's the warm one, even though we know that she has a lot of feeling. And she has a lot of heart.
She almost seems like a robot on occasion.
Yeah, but then you see in later episodes that she just melts your heart. You know.
Yeah. Oh, and this episode, it also should be mentioned that this is the episode where the one terrorist guy, I don't remember his name, breaks off from the group and goes to visit his grandmother.
Oh, right.
What is that dude's name? But I don't remember his name. But, like, that's where you realize that the group is not as unified as they claim to be, because he's more about... It's like he almost joined the group out of convenience, and now that he's back in time, he's like, he's the first one to recognize that the world sucked in 2077 for everybody, but here in 2012, he's like, we could be rich. He sees all the opportunities that are possible, you know?
Okay, Kellogg. It's Matthew Kellogg.
Is his name? Is his character's name?
Kellogg.
Actor's name is Stephen Lobo.
Okay.
Yep.
See, this is what the internet brings us. We have information instantly. So Kellogg.
Yep.
Yeah, so he's the one that breaks away from the group and sees the opportunity. The rest of them are still on mission.
Yeah. And because of that, since he feels like he's going to get something out of it, he does that kind of, I'll play both sides against the middle thing, and a kind of sets it up so that he can maybe be an informant or help her, which is like, okay, I wonder where that's going to go. So.
All right. And the big scene in the second episode is when they go to that plant and they try to use the device again. Because,
well, but see, that's not in this episode.
Yes,
though.
It is. I'm literally
we're watching it right now.
Wow. Yeah. So
really,
yeah.
Episode two.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I got these wrong. Okay, go ahead.
Well, that's why that was my brilliant idea of watching them in fast forward as we were discussing them, so we don't forget any story points.
Okay.
But yeah, the big scene, the big action scene is they're at the plant and they're trying to use the device. And the scientist guy is like, I totally know how, you know, it's like, it's not a Hadron Collider, but it's like antimatter or something. And the scientist dude is like, you are totally, if you mess this up, you're going to kill us all. The guy's like, I'm a future engineer. I don't need your help. And he totally blows up the entire plant.
Right.
Like, I was like, I don't think your math. Well, first of all, I don't know if I would trust this guy in the first place, because he's the one who did the calculations that sent them back 66 years instead of 6 years. So this is the same guy that you're like, yeah, do the math again, and let's do it again. And this, he just almost blows them all up. Just like, really? All right. The other important thing is that's when they lose a piece of the device. Because it comes apart in like six pieces.
Yeah.
And in the explosion, they lose a piece of it, which becomes important later.
And isn't that where she sees the piece at the end? And it's like you can see she's utterly heartbroken because now she knows she can't go home.
Right. Yeah, and this is the big cry. This is kind of like the first time we've seen a crack in her, a really big crack in her shell, because, like you said, she's been very serious, very focused, very calm. And it's like she finally realized she might not be able to get home. And she kind of breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter, you said something about you don't feel her husband, her relationship with her husband just doesn't feel real, and I totally agree. I don't know if it's the actor or what the heck the deal is, but I don't feel like they're a married couple. It feels strange.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing because normally when you do a show like this, the female lead is usually set up so that she could have a romance with the new partner.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like,
and it
technically, she's married and she has a kid, so I'm kind of like, well, I guess not really. Like, but I don't really see her relationship with her husband as really all that, like, there's not a lot of sparks there. At least I'm not getting that.
Right.
I mean, and I get that she cares about her son. Like, obviously, I believe that. But yeah, I don't know why.
But what's a trip is you get the feeling that the cop, Carlos, kind of has a thing for her.
Well, of course.
Well, and he doesn't know she's married.
Well, yeah.
So he's thinking she's available, and he's throwing her puppy eyes all over the place.
But from
puppy eyes and a dimple.
From a viewer point of view, though, I kind of side with him because I don't really find the husband doesn't have any qualities that I find interesting. So I'm like,
that's true.
Yeah,
so, only way that would work,
and they spend more time together. The fact is, we see him, the partner, with her more than we do with the husband.
Right.
I mean,
but the only problem is, you have to then, in order for you to actually pursue a relationship, you have to then prove that the husband was bad, a bad guy.
You don't have to.
I think you do, or she has to accept that she's never going home.
Exactly.
One of those two things.
Wait, why can't it just be that she has feelings for the guy and
well, because then it would be weird because she's married. So that.
So I mean, like, so she can. I'm not saying. Wait, I guess what you're. It sounds like maybe we're arguing two different things. I'm arguing that she could have feelings for him. Perhaps it goes somewhere, but. That, and I'm not saying that that's good to do, but she's married, but she's a human being. She has flaws. That could happen.
But
that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that's a perfect situation. I'm saying that it could certainly happen.
It doesn't seem like that's her. It doesn't seem like that would be true to her character, though. You know, to her entire.
She's very white and black. She's not much with the gray.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. So,
but she and I really do think like they're trying to lead us to believe something is going to go.
Well, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, it does. It does. But I feel like. They either have to prove that the husband was involved some kind of way. Like, if the husband's involved, I bet you the group knows that he's involved. You know? They probably know him. So that
might come out.
It might come out that way. Or it has to be enough time where she's just like, you know what? I'm never going home. You know? Though and you're right. All the flashbacks are about her son. Like, all the warmth is all about her son. So, anyway, so I thought the second episode was really good, especially we tried the whole, it's like they're it feels almost like they're answering all the fans' questions, like, why don't they try to do this? And so each episode is, what's the first thing you would try to do if you got stuck back in time?
Right, and I like that.
They're doing that. All right, and so we're going to move on to the third episode, which is called Wasting Time. Oh, we just realized that we haven't talked about Alec at all in the discussion of the first two episodes, so let's talk about him first in this episode. Alec is a really interesting character because it's like he knows that she's kind of a link to his future and that he saw in the first episode that his company becomes a huge company because he sees the footage through her eyes, her memory. So he knows that his company becomes huge. And he kind of, I think part of it is he likes her, and part of it is he kind of feels like she's the ticket to him becoming what he's supposed to become.
Yeah, that's true.
So now all he's doing is spending all his time in the barn talking to her and helping her out and being basically her technical support.
You know? Right, he is basically the help desk.
Right.
But I forgot where the actor's from, but we've seen him before.
Seen him in a million things.
Yeah, he's good. I like him.
The weird thing is, when I looked him up, he's hardly been in anything. Doesn't it?
What's he been in?
I've seen him a million times. I feel like I've seen him a million times.
You feel like you have? It's totally weird because I did the same thing. Eric Knutson is the kid's name.
So what's he been in then? Now
he was in Jericho, which is why I remember.
Oh, I mean that's.
Well, something. All of us saw Jericho, right?
Yeah.
But
he was in. Yeah, just go ahead. But he wasn't in as many things as you probably thought. Or at least not that I've seen. So.
Well, I've also seen Scott Pilgrim. He was in that.
Yeah.
He's got to have been in more stuff.
Yeah, but you can see the list of things he's been in. It's not like I haven't watched most of that stuff. So, but he seemed really familiar to me, but it must have been for me because of Jericho since I saw that. So.
Oh, that's true. I guess it must be Jericho. Oh, he was in The Guardian, which is... that was when I went back... and watched all the Simon Baker stuff, because Simon Baker did a show called The Guardian before he did The Mentalist.
Oh, well, for me, he was just in Scream 4. So he's a huge character. So yeah. And he was in Scott Pilgrim. He's in Youth and Revolt. He's in Jericho. He's in Saw 2. I've seen all these things. Like, yeah, he's in a lot. For me, yes.
You've seen a lot.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of like stuff. Actually, okay. I was thinking he's from Veronica Mars. So he looks like, he kind of reminds me of that guy. The one in the second season who's the killer.
Oh, that guy was a jerk.
That's who he kind of reminds me. Well, but I like him here. But I was like, is it that guy? That's who I was thinking it was.
No, but that is incorrect. Because when he was in The Guardian, he's in the first three episodes of The Guardian. And he's really little. He's like 10 years old.
Aww.
And he's cute. But I thought he was really good. So, you know, hey, he grew up to be really good.
Yep.
Anyway, moving on. Now that we have now done his entire career. I think that it really works. Only thing that I'm really worried about, I think we've talked about this before, is his stepbrother and his stepfather and their whole lame...
Yeah, they're like a part of some cult about technology or something like that, and yeah, I can't...
Which makes you wonder, do you think that's like where the beginning of Liberate came from?
It could be.
That's what I'm thinking.
I think the only reason to show this is because they're going to hook up with Liberate in some way. And that's the obvious conclusion. It's just I find all those guys very uninteresting. Like,
yeah,
his stepbrother is just his stepbrother is just
annoying. Because you just know eventually that stepbrother is going to betray him in some way, and it's going to lead to something that's going to get Kira in trouble. It just seems so. Yeah, I mean, especially for a show that's very much about time travel, seeing that kind of thing happening as a plot point is very uncompelling. It's just kind of like we're going to have to go through that now.
Right.
And the fact that very conveniently everything this kid has is like secretively hidden in the barn. And it's like, no one's gone out there yet. No one's suspicious enough to go out there and check out what's in the barn.
Well, I mean, they're suspicious. They don't think he's doing what he's doing, but they do think he's...
Because there's no way they could fathom that he's doing what he's doing.
Exactly, but at some point, like you said, there'll probably be a betrayal. So someone's going to go, I wonder what's going on, and they're going to go figure it out.
It's
going
to be the stepbrother. Because he's so obviously the one that's going to
They're
do
setting
it.
Him up.
Yeah, it's just... That is the storyline that I'm really not looking forward to.
I agree. That's a B-plot I could go without.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so... But I do like Alec.
I like Alec and I like Kira working together. That's my favorite part of the show, is the two of them working together and the technology they use and, like, her fish out of water. That's usually when they bring out the most fish out of water quality, because she doesn't really know the world of 2012. Like, that's my favorite part of the show. So, right. I mean, like, I like all that.
Well, the other thing for this particular episode, the main stuff that we is that Kellogg is basically trying to work two sides against the middle, which you said was his plan. And this is the first episode where you see him meet with her. But what's kind of strange is instead of telling her partner, hey, one of the guys from the organization we're trying to catch just showed up at my lunch with a grenade. Like, she's keeping all these secrets, and I kind of feel like some of the secrets she's keeping are unnecessary. Like, yes, she doesn't want to tell anybody she's from the future. That makes sense. That's not a secret you want to tell anybody. But the fact that this dude just showed up at her where she was supposed to meet him for Carlos for lunch or whatever, and the other guy shows up with a grenade, like, she could totally have told him that.
Yeah.
And so I just felt that was weird, because now she's having all these meetings. She has all these secret meetings with Kellogg that she doesn't tell her partner about. I just feel like there's such an easy way for him to find out about it, and then it looks like she's a traitor.
No, I agree.
So that bothers me, but...
Well, and essentially that's what the bald guy, who's the head of the department, that's basically what that guy character's there for, is that he's the one to put... to be somewhat skeptical of knowing what we know about this Kira person and everything, and... Like, I like the actor, but again, that's the kind of stuff that I'm like, I don't know how interesting that's going to be. Because if Kira, like you said, just acted, like if she was just more, had more full disclosure on certain things, like they would trust her more and stuff.
Right.
It wouldn't work that way.
Right. And I just felt like that's a little unnecessary.
Yeah,
that's
no, I agree.
Except that her and Kellogg end up becoming allies later, so that's useful.
And that's kind of where, I think that's where I was going with it, though, is that in my opinion, when she didn't tell him about the meeting in the restaurant, it was because she's still pretty new to this, and she knows her cover is very, very tenuous. She could easily get her, you know, back in jail or, you know, the feds or anything. So much is riding on the line that I don't think she knows what to do with Kellogg too early on, you know, in the first couple episodes where she's kind of working with him. Because she's got to figure out, because he could literally blow things up, but not in a literal way, you know, in a figurative way. So she's really cautious about that. And that's why she didn't bring Carlos into it as she did that early. So, but I think she will. I mean, obviously, like all of these fish out of water things, eventually someone's going to have to figure it out, and it can't just be Alec, you know?
Okay. The other thing is that this is the episode where people have show up with holes drilled in the back of their heads, and it's all about they need to get the chemicals to fix the soldiers. And because the soldiers from the future, apparently, they're not, it's not even steroids. It's some designer drug that makes them kind of super soldiers. But without them, they just kind of decay and turn into like dead husks, which was really nasty to look at. And in the whole vacuum of power, you have, I was going to say Asian dude. I don't know his name.
I don't know his name, yeah.
Decides that this is the perfect time for him to take over and set a trap for the cop, which is a good idea, except bad execution.
Right.
But he was an awesome fight. Like, in a fight, like, he beat the crap out of Carlos in, like, 5 seconds. And,
right, yeah.
And then he beats the crap out of Kira pretty quickly, too, pretty handily. I was like, wow, who is this guy?
Yeah, I agree.
But then, of course, you have the big... She wins the fight because he picks up a gun that's not his. He's an unauthorized user, and it gives him a shock and kills him. But you had a problem with that.
Well, only because if he's from the future, I think he would know about that kind of stuff. Like, only, I mean, like, I would, you know, like, if he's a normal, if he's a person from our time, of course, none of us assume guns work that way. But I would think that. And in the scene, when he's literally pulling the trigger, like, you can see the
display,
the screen says unauthorized user. Although that might be that the moment he clicks it, it says unauthorized user. So at that point, he's at point of no return. So I'll give that. But I still think it's weird that
he knows
how future tech works. So why wouldn't he think, oh, I shouldn't do this?
Yeah.
You know? When I saw it originally, when I saw it the first time, I thought it was more she changed the gun and he didn't know that. So he goes to kill her and it backfires on him. And I was like, okay, I understand that. But watching it now, I'm like, no, I think it's just that's what the guns are tied to in the future. They're tied to a specific soldier or whatever. So, yeah, that seems weird, you know. Or maybe it was, like, heat of the moment, and he's doing what he can. It's just he moves the van, he takes a chance, and he loses, I guess. Although it's quite a big lose since he dies.
Use that gun,
you know,
like, he fully intended to kill her with
it. It's not like it shocks him, and he's like, ow, he's dead after that. So that's quite a chance to take, man.
And he knows how her suit works.
So I don't really.
You see those pictures of them in the future, you know, on the subway, you know, when she was using her suit, and it's like, yeah, there's no way he wouldn't know. So plot hole.
As a side note to the suit, I like though that they've given the suit because the suit is so like, the suit does so much. The suit and the fact that she's got the brain implant thing does so much that there was a part of me that's like, well, the suit is almost like too much of a super suit. So at the end of this episode, I think there's an explosion. Does she end up in the water?
Yeah.
So like they've now introduced that the suit is now going to theoretically can be faulty and stuff, which is you kind of even though like in real life I wouldn't want that to happen. Like for a show that makes sense because the suit's almost too perfect, you know.
Right.
So it's like you kind of have to have some bugs with it now.
Well,
so.
Yeah, and so now
she has to have some sort of weakness.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's almost isn't it almost. Bulletproof, too?
It is bulletproof.
Yes. I mean, really, that suit just does so much, you know?
Well, she can't just fly with it, you know, so.
Well,
she would be like the Terminator.
Yeah.
Yes.
She would totally be the Terminator if she kept having the suit, yeah.
Well, what they end up doing is now Alec has a suit and supposed to be repairing it. Oh, wait. That's in the next episode.
But that's my next episode, because the end is that
it gets
water,
messed
so
up
fine.
In the water. And Kellogg now is definitely cut off from his people because they tried to kill him.
Right.
So he's firmly on her side at the moment. And,
yes.
And when I say at the moment, I mean at the moment, because that changes. Okay, so moving on. Episode 4, Matter of Time. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Matter of Time. And this is the big episode where...
Wow, sorry, the sound is...
Tony Almeida.
Tommy Amendola.
Amendola, who looks a lot like F. Murray Abraham. He finally wakes up.
Well, not wakes up. He comes through the time thing.
Oh, wait. Right, yeah. No, but the other guy wakes up. The guy that you like from 24.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that happened at the end of the last episode.
Oh, okay. All right.
So,
yeah.
In this one, he comes through the time rift. Tony Amendola finally comes through the time rift, and basically he was just late.
Right.
So, he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know where he is. And he is unconscious at first.
And he spends most of that episode in that state.
Right.
Yeah, so.
So he doesn't, he's like in a coma or something for almost the whole episode, but the big deal is like, oh man, he's come back.
Right.
And No, because he wakes up and then he meets his people at the garden.
Isn't there footage of him
walking around
a hospital or something? That's when they see him. They're like, oh, there he is.
Right.
At that point, I don't think he knows what's going on. I think he's in kind of a daze. He's not sure what's
going on. Well, he's looking around. He doesn't know what year he's in and all that stuff. So he's trying to figure that out. But he knows where they're supposed to meet. So he goes to the meet location. And then that's when Kira was like, well, this is a perfect opportunity to catch him. Because we know where they're all going to be. So that was pretty good. And I like how he got out of the situation. Tony's, what is his name?
Edward Kagame.
With the K.
Yeah, Kagame's the last name. And it's like, it's kind of a different spelling of Edward.
Okay, so
Kagame, basically. So let's
try it again. So I thought what was really interesting was Kagame, when he's in that Chinese sand garden or whatever, he sees that he's going to be captured by the police, and he manages to get himself out of that situation really well. So they all basically, he takes a hostage. How does he get out of it?
Yeah, I was just thinking the of that. Because she had,
oh, the baby. That's right. He takes a baby.
Right, because she has to let him go. Yeah, and then when the partner comes, she's just like, oh, she basically makes it look like he had gotten away.
Right.
She doesn't say everything. But
see, now that's the thing. She could have easily said he had a hostage.
Right.
I was like, why are you even just lying about that? Like, that just seems really simple. But what's interesting is what that sets up in that Kagame now is back with the crew. He's back because the whole episode was him finally reuniting with his team and finally, you know, being picked up. And also, you see how zen he is because while he's waiting for his team, he's like meditating.
Right.
So he's not the super, well, they lead you to believe that he's not the super soldier killer guy like everybody else is, that he actually has some intellect and patience and wisdom, I guess. And so that's why I was kind of excited, like, all right, so now we actually have the head of this organization back. Let's see what he can do. But that's kind of how the whole episode ends. Any other thoughts, Susan, of this episode?
So the one thing that I noticed is, you know, you get the two bad guys, or the two lead bad guys, if you will, who are kind of vying for the top spot since Kagame's not back yet. I just thought it was really interesting how they were very physical in their kind of like animal rivalry for the top spot. And then here comes Kagame, and you find out that, you know, he really is like the brains of the organization. And it's amazing how they suddenly like defer to him. So, you know, my thought is, okay, apparently he's big and powerful, but now that they're in the past, you know, really, they could easily overthrow him. It's like, it's just them. You know, those members of Liberate are all that there are, as far as they know, because they were the only ones that came back from the future from the execution room. So it's interesting how they still have that respect and defer to him. So whatever his plan is, I'm really interested to see what it is, because apparently it's big enough for them to, you know, to basically say, yep, he's the big boss and he's back and we're still going to listen to him.
Well, I kind of feel like he's the charismatic leader, that it doesn't matter, you know, who's more physically powerful. That's not what it's about. It's about the idea.
Like, true, but they didn't, I mean, they were more than happy to just rampage around, take money. I mean, look at the girls who were kind of weird. You know, they're just into like the mayhem, the destruction. And I think they would just be happy like rampaging through time, you know, whatever time they still have left. But he obviously has such a bigger cause for them or a purpose that they're willing to just say, okay, you know, we're still with you, boss.
Yeah. And the other storyline we forgot to mention was there was some tech that was stolen, and they were trying to track down who stole the technology, and they finally figure out that it's this woman, and she's like getting on a plane to like Portugal or something. And she's got this hard drive with all the data that she's going to use to do something. We don't know what she's going to use it for. But Kira totally recognizes her name and realizes, oh, she's the woman who actually creates whatever technology in the future that was, I can't even remember what it was behind.
It was like the technology behind the suits or something. Yeah, it was like some big technology that everybody needed.
And that she was the famous person who did it.
Yep.
Side note, this is for all the Stargate fans out there, which I thought was, this is hilarious.
He's from Stargate?
He is from Stargate. He plays, Teal'c's master. He's the one who raised Teal'c.
Yeah.
And there's this episode where they're in a Chinese garden and they're waiting. It was the one where the Mother Earth episode where she was like this big glowy light. and that's where all the Jaffa go when they die or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was literally in that exact same garden. So he had a scene where he was sitting on those steps with Teal'c and he was talking about what the afterlife meant and they were philosophizing. Yeah. And so then this episode, he's sitting on the same steps, like, meditating. I was like, that's so weird. Because he literally was doing almost the same thing in that episode. So, and I've actually been to that garden on my Stargate tour when I went up to Vancouver being a geek.
Cool.
I don't know, this side note as I look at it. But that was pretty much all of that episode. I think we summed that one up. What I really want to do is talk about the last episode real quick. And when I say real quick, this was the biggest one in that it was the Terminator episode. This was the episode where they basically utilized the whole idea, what if I kill your grandmother? Mm-hmm. Does that make you cease to exist? And they literally, I mean, it was everything. I know that all of us were kind of talking about it. Like, you know, if you know these guys are terrorists, then go take out their mother, grandmother, right, whatever, and then prevent them from doing any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they had, that was, Kira threw that idea out to one of the guys when she was questioning him, and so then they use that against her. They go looking for her grandmother. Well,
they have to stab her to get her DNA. Remember, she's walking down.
Right. Well, no, they actually literally pulled the book out of the whole Terminator thing. They just started killing people with her grandmother's name at first.
Yeah, Lily Jones or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
So the first and then they got the wrong, and then she didn't disappear, so they're like, oh, we got the wrong one. So then
gives us a chance for Kira to meet her ancestor and everything.
Yeah.
And of course, she's not, she's like this kind of messed up kid, and she's not at all what, like...
Well, like the story, the story she heard when she was little about her grandmother did not match,
right,
obviously, what her grandmother was really like.
And this is also at the same time that we're seeing not a flash forward, but for her, we're seeing when she is thinking about when she realized she was pregnant with her baby and everything. Right. So it all kind of ties together, like, I mean, which is good.
Because she had the great scene when she tells her grandmother, when her grandmother figures out she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And she's thinking about, well, I'll get rid of the baby because I'm just too young for this. I can't do it. She comes with all these reasons. And she basically talks her grandmother into having her mom. Like, that's like, no pressure, man. Don't just like, do not mess this up.
Yep. But you're right. And the way she did it, though, I really liked. That was one of the scenes where I thought, I'm like, oh, this is so tender. I mean, she's so soft-hearted, even though she's so cool on the outside. But she was just so honest in her discussion about it. And I just liked the fact that she was able to convince her grandmother to do it. And it's like, oh, yeah, that would make sense because she's who she is and that's part of her bloodline. So it would make sense that her grandmother would listen to her. But I just thought that whole scene with them in the hotel room was just really sweet. And I don't remember, was Alec listening to all that? Or was he offline at the time? Because I know he goes offline sometimes.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But Alec's storyline with his stepbrother and stepfather has gotten more hostile in the, because before he was pretending to be part of the family and pretending to be part of the unit. And then I think in the last episode, he was like, you know what? I'm not part of you guys. I don't believe what you guys believe in. And I don't particularly like any of the people you bring over. So he was pretty brutally honest. I was like, yeah, way to set the war lines there.
Yeah. And the line is drawn.
Yeah. Yep. The clock is ticking now, buddy.
Right. Yep. So he really set himself up for that. When I was like, man, that barn might get burned down. You need to be cool. I was like, I don't know how old he's supposed to be, but I figure, I was like, dude, you just need to get your own place. You need to move away from these crazy people.
He needs to get at least like a plan B, like off-site storage. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I was like, these crazy people, anti-technology might burn down your whole area. I think that's the main thing that happened. Oh, and the other thing is, Alec is trying to fix her suit because her suit is bioorganic or whatever. And so he's trying to come up with different chemical compounds that will work to fix her suit. And like the first couple he tries basically disintegrates stuff. And he's like, yeah, okay, maybe not. And I was like, you're not a chemist. You're a computer geek.
You're tech head. I know.
Yeah, I know. I was like, those two things do not necessarily go together.
Well, we believe he's pretty smart though.
Well, yeah,
he's gonna make mistakes, but
I believe he's smart, but I don't believe he's a chemist.
Right.
So that was just like, all right. But, you know, I like that he's working on the suit. And I think that actually working on the suit will end up helping him with his whole tech, where he's going with his tech. So that's, and all the stuff that she already says is possible, he now knows. Like, imagine if you found out that a certain thing was possible, then actually moving to get to that point is easier because you know you can do it.
Like the holodeck.
But we don't know that we can do it.
That's what I'm saying. If someone told me it's possible, I'd be like, yay.
Well, does that mean you're going to go build it? Go build it.
You're right. Exactly.
All right. I think that's about it.
Well, wait. And then the big thing, of course, was that the other character, one who switched sides.
Kellogg. I'm sorry. Yeah.
His ancestor does get killed.
Right. I totally
forgot. And he doesn't disappear. And so this introduces then, is it basically they've created a new timeline? Is that what it is? Like, because why didn't they die?
But the only problem with because it does look like they've created their own timeline, kind of a Doctor Who thing where why Doctor Who can go back in time and not screw up timelines. And the only problem with that is that if this is an alternate timeline, then how is it that the old Alec in the future knew that she was going to go back into the past and what that smile was about.
Right, unless it's one of those things where I mean, we just have to trust them with their fiction that you can say, well, it is an alternate timeline, but just because it's an alternate timeline doesn't mean that these other things aren't also similar. So you could also have that and this thing. I mean, I don't know. But I mean, like, and also that's pretty much near the end of the episode. So they might come up with a better explanation than you and I are thinking. But they clearly make a distinct, they're like, all right, he's still around.
Right,
you know,
right.
So
that was a big. They wanted to make it clear to us that the assumption that we all were under, which was if you know, yeah, it's the whole
Back
Sarah
to the Future thing,
Connor
you
thing,
just
you know,
disappear,
kill the parent,
or Sarah Connor,
you know, the
right.
grandparent. So I think they made it on purpose very obvious because it was like at the last minute, you know, that one of the Liberic guys off in the bushes, you know, took that last shot and killed her.
Well, yeah. Sorry. It's very much the Back to the Future thing. It's not the Terminator thing. Only because in the Terminator they've never actually done it, have they?
They've tried.
They always try, but because they've never succeeded, we actually don't know. We assume that's the whole premise of the Terminator series.
Is you assume
if they kill Sarah Connor or John Connor, they win. But because they never get to do it,
in this case they do it.
Right.
And it doesn't. And that's why it makes me think of Back to the Future, because in Back to the Future, like, the picture disappears or whatever.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, okay, you know, so, but,
all right,
yeah,
so
we don't know.
They're showing us that for this universe that we're in of Continuum, that it's the Terminator version, not the Back to the Future version, where they don't die if you kill their...
Well, no, in Terminator, we don't know.
No, in Terminator, it's just never happened.
Yeah.
They've never gotten away with killing anybody. That's why we don't know what would happen in the Terminator version.
Right.
We assume
it's more, how about this, it's more Doctor Who. In Doctor Who, you could kill somebody's grandmother, and it's fine.
Right, and both Back to the Future and Terminator both introduce ideas that you can affect the future, because in the original Terminator, that's the whole reason that John Connor is born, is because that guy goes Michael Biehn, so that wouldn't happen. So clearly that is them saying, yes, the future is affected. And the fact that in this show, Cigarettes Man, who is the older version of...
Alec.
Clearly does, you're right, and the pilot seems like he knows what's going on, so then that makes me go, well, he does, then it has affected the future and everything.
Right.
So, but hopefully they'll expand on it more.
Travel makes my head hurt.
We would have been reviewing 6 episodes, but it was Canada Day last weekend.
Yeah,
so,
what are the Canadians having a day
so
for?
So we did not get to the new episodes on tonight for us, so
yay.
We'll have to say I'm looking forward to it. But overall, I like the show. It's nice and refreshing because, I mean... You know, I'm not necessarily going to say that, you know, Canada's great and America's terrible. I mean, America did make Battlestar Galactica. So, I mean, like, you know, like, but it's just, I don't know, it's just a refreshing show. And it just feels like, oh, I like this, you know, like.
Though,
I mean,
technically,
yeah.
Battlestar Galactica was shot in Vancouver.
In Canada, I know.
Well, true, but in production. Okay, well, then Fringe. Wait, is Fringe also?
Fringe is not in Vancouver, too.
But, I mean, technically, those are American production, American writers. So, I'm like, you know.
Canada!
Right, exactly. But no, but I like it. So, thumbs up for me. I'm looking forward to working. It's a nice surprise for the summer.
Yes.
And
yes.
I do like and I love the relationship between Kira and Carlos. I think it's very sweet. It's not like, oh, coyish.
No, but I like,
not at this point.
It is sweet, but really, to me, it's Kira and Alec. Not in a romance way, but they're the relationship I like.
I mean, I can see that, too.
I mean, again, I don't think it's a romance, but I just like their friendship or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Yep.
But
well, because it brings kind of an intimacy, just the way them talking to each other in each other's heads all the time.
Right.
So they're, that it brings the same intimacy that's involved in Purse of Interest, as
which
I say that.
They're still never seen.
You should totally watch that show. Because they're always
on the mail list right now.
It's on my list too. I'll get to it. I just finished. Hey, I just caught up with Breaking Bad. Okay.
Yay! Ready just for the time. New. I was like ready for the new season.
Exactly. All right.
So let's wrap that up. And if you guys have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. And you can listen to us on getthepointradio.com, Krypton Radio, Weenopolis, and iTunes. Woo! All right. Talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.